Okay, we're in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh, Parak Beis. Don't worry, the hard part doesn't start yet. We still have a few chapters to go. So Parak Beis and Parak Gimel are both going to be speaking about the properties of the witnesses. Specifically, Parak Beis is going to get into which witnesses are able to give testimony about the new moon, as well as the procedure involved, and some other particular halachas related to that. So in halacha Aleph, the Rambam explains, Ein kasha le'edus hachodesh, ela shnei anashim, ksherim haru'uyim lahoyed b'chol davar v'davar. So basically, he sets out the standard very easily, that the status of an aid that's kasher for Kiddush HaKodesh is an aid that could be used in any other situation in halacha. So that's the the chalo shem. Aval nashim vavadim hari ein kishar psule edos ve'meiden. But women and servants are not allowed to go ahead and be. We do not accept their testimony when it comes to the new moon. Avu bno shero esereach yehu lebeis din lahai. Now here's something interesting. If a father and son come together to claim that they saw the moon, now remember, a father and son cannot be witnesses. Nonetheless, we still let them go to Beis Din to give testimony. Why? Not because if relatives witness the new moon, that we accept that Eidus as being legitimate, because we wouldn't. The reason why is, let's say another set of witnesses came, and one of those two witnesses was a robber. Was a robber. So now he's pasul edus. So then what we'll do is we'll take either the father or his son and use them to be mitzaref to join together with the other individual kasher eid. The call pasul edus midivrei sofrim af yishu kasher min haTorah pasul edus achodesh. So anyone who's pasul midrabanan, for instance, mesachik bekubya, a gambler who midrabanan is pasul from edus. Even though they're midaraisa, they're kasher as edim, they still can't be used for testifying, for sanctifying the moon. Okay, so halacha beis, din torah she'ei medaktikim be'edus hachodesh. It's very interesting. So when it comes to the quality of testimony that the witnesses are delivering, we don't go nuts about it, okay? We're not here, it's not like in a murder case where every detail is of paramount importance. When it comes to the testimony of the witnesses in the moon, we're not so medaktik. It's an amazing idea. So let's say, and you'll see why this is important soon, but let's say witnesses came, they claimed that they saw the moon, they were lying all along, they were false witnesses, it doesn't matter. The month is still sanctified, and you'll see why soon. Amazing period of time. In the early days, right, they would accept testimony from any Jew, meaning any male Jew who said they saw the moon. They have a chazakah being kasher, and therefore we would say they're kasher unless we found something wrong. However, mishakaku lahem minim. Okay, so now when you have those people who are corrupting Judaism, vayu sochrim anashim lahayid. So, for instance, let's say the Karaites, for example, they would go ahead and hire people to become fake witnesses. Right, shiro'u, that they saw the moon. V'heim lo ro'u, but of course they didn't actually see the moon. His skinu shelo yikablu bezin edus hachodesh, ele me'edim shemakirim bezin osam, shehem ksherim, v'sheyu dorshim v'chokrim be'edus. So because there were multiple acts of deception, where witnesses came forward who really were being paid to give their testimony, they were lying. So now bezin upped the standards. And now what they said was, is number one, they have to know who the person is. As you'll see, they'll do an early version of a background check on the witness. And the second thing is that they would subject them to drisha v'chakira. They would interrogate and investigate to make sure that what they were testifying on is legit. So because the system started getting corrupt, that's why Beis Din responded. So therefore, halacha gimel lefikach, im lo yu Beis Din yodim es eidim shiros yireach. So let's say two people come, Reuven and Shimon, and they say they saw the moon, and Beis Din knows nothing of these two people. Okay, so what do they do? Mishalchin anshia ir shenirba im ha'edim. Okay, so it's an amazing thing. So they would go ahead and send other people who were going to function as witnesses. Okay, with the witnesses who saw the moon, to go ahead, right? Shiro edim achirim shem mizakinos on the bezin umodinos on sheiluk sherem heim achrak makabim heim. So let's say two witnesses come to Bezin and they say, you know, we saw the moon. And Bezin goes to their computer and they have no background information on these two individuals. So what do? They'll send another set of, so to speak, witnesses with the original witnesses, take them back to, let's say, the city they're from, then have to go through some sort of character check to make sure that they're legit. They'd ask around, interview people, whatever it might be. Once the character of the witnesses who saw the moon has been established as being acceptable, then we accept their testimony. So that was the background check that was done on the witnesses. Now, Lacha Dalad. Now, Bezin Mechashvim Bedrochim Shaha Atstigdinin Mechashvim Behem. When Bezin actually works out their mathematical calculations of when the moon's going to appear, they would use a method that the astronomers used. Okay? The Yodin Halavana Kishatira Bechodesh Zeh, Imtia Betsafon Hashemesh Obedroma, Vimtia Rechava Uksara, okay, we're not going to get into this yet, what all these different things mean, but suffice to say, what would happen? So through their calculations, they would know exactly where the moon would be located at any point in time, but certainly at the beginning of the month, whether it would be in the northern part, north of the sun or south, whether it would be wide, when it first appears, it would be wide or narrow, as well as its points, where the points would be, what direction the points on the moon would be facing. Now, since they had these calculations done ahead of time, when the witnesses would come, they would say to them, okay, tell us, where did you see the moon located? So they did some type of drishon hakira. They want to know, where did you see the moon? Because they could check against what they calculated. Or lehechan yukarnei anotos. Kamatia gavoa b'riya senechem v'kama ha'yisar chava. So they would ask about the position, the location, the dimensions, they'd ask it to the witnesses. Im nimtzu divrei mechuvanen, l'masha noda b'cheshbon, as long as their testimony lined up with what they calculated, mekablon osam, they would accept the testimony. V'im lo nimtzu divrei mechuvanen, e mekablon osam. And of course, if the information did not line up, then they would not accept their testimony. But the key point here is that they knew ahead of time, okay? They knew ahead of time where the moon was going to be. They calculated that out already. And now the only question is that does the testimony of the witnesses line up with that? Okay? Halacha hey. Now, let's say, Amru ha'edim, ra'inu b'mayim, o b'avim, o b'ashashis. Okay? Let's say the witnesses come along and say, we didn't actually see the moon, but for example, we saw a reflection of it off the water, as an example. Or they saw, like, what it called? It was cloudy. Okay? But, all right. Or they saw some of it in the sky and some of it in the clouds. Okay, so that's the key. When you see, like, let's say, if they saw the moon, let's say, half here, half there, or reflection of it, that's not considered a re'iyah. That's not considered a seeing of the moon itself. Amar echad re'isiv gavoa be'enai kamosh shtei kamos, v'amar hasheni kamosh shlosh kamos. Okay, now we're going to get into a discrepancy in testimony. One witness says the moon appeared to be two stories high, and the second witness said it appeared to be three stories high. Hayagova mitstarfin. They would be a good atheist. We'd say that their testimony can be accepted, and we'd fuse them together. All right. So even though there's a differentiation in the height of the moon, we would say at this point it's not a significant differentiation or not enough of a differentiation to not be mitzvah after testimony. However, Amar Echa Kamo Shosh Kamos, Vasheni Omar Kamo Chamesh Kamos. Let's say one guy said it appeared three stories high, and the other guy said it appears five stories high, which is substantially larger. A mitzvahim. Then their testimony is not joined together. Umitzvah Echad Mehem Im Shenish Yad Kamoso, O Yebinen Koma Achas. Rather, what do we do? We'll take the one of the two witnesses and combine them together with another set of witnesses who comes to Beis Din, let's say a single person, where their single person's testimony is like one of the witnesses. So again, as an example, let's say witnesses come to Beis Din, one says, I saw it was three stories in height, the other one says five stories in height. We cannot join their testimony together. But that doesn't mean we abandon their testimony. Let's say 5 minutes later, another guy comes in and says, I saw the moon and it was three stories high. We could take the original three stories high witness and combine them together with the new witness who came to bathe them. So that would be acceptable. Okay, lachavav, as the Rambam was going to keep expanding these cases, amru, so the witnesses say, ra'inuhu below kavana, okay? So they said, we saw the moon, but we weren't really paying attention. Okay? V'kevan shehizbonu bo, v'nizkonu l'roso l'ha'id, shuv lo ra'yinuhu. But then they say, but when we actually were paying attention, right, we didn't see it. So for example, let's say they were daydreaming, right, and all of a sudden the moon appeared while they were daydreaming, and they weren't quite sure when they were daydreaming if they saw it, but then when they went to go look at what they thought they saw, there was no moon there. Einzu eidos v'mekachin aleha. We don't accept this testimony. Why? Shema avim niskashru v'niru kilavana. Because what could happen? Maybe the clouds came together and they look like a moon, right? V'kalu v'halku lahem. Right, so, and afterwards, the clouds basically broke apart, and there was no moon to speak of. Amru Edim ra'inuhu b'yom tishav eshem shacharis b'mizrach kodem shatala shemesh. Okay, so let's say the witnesses say, we saw the new moon on the 29th in the morning in the east. And then they say also, v'ra'inuhu, we also saw it, arvis b'mara b'leil shloshim, we saw it in the west on the night of the 30th. Hare elu ne'emanim u'mekachin ariyazu. So even though there's a discrepancy in days, okay, they had one sighting on the 29th in the morning on the east, and the second sighting on the 30th at night in the west, we still accept that edus, Share ra'uhu bizmano, because they saw the moon at the time that they were supposed to be able to see the moon. Ava ha'ra'iya sha'amru sha'u b'shacharis, but let's say they said they saw the moon in the daytime, right? Right, we don't trust them because we say it's not good to be able to they didn't really see the moon, they were probably seeing the clouds. So a morning testimony is disregarded primarily because you'd assume that the clouds are causing this image of the moon to appear. Let's say they saw it in the time they were supposed to be seeing it, okay, which would be, again, bismano in the appropriate time, uvilel iburo lo nire, but in the 31st night, right, which would be the extra day, they didn't see it, hare elu ne'mon, and we still would trust them. Shein anu achrayin el arias leil sholshim avad, because the only ria that counts is the 30th. So even though they gave testimony, so to speak, that they saw the moon on the 30th day, but not on the following day, okay, we still trust the, what they call the testimony of the Edim, because he saw it on the time that the moon was supposed to be seen. Okay, so that deals a lot with the various requirements that the witnesses had to do to be accepted. Now the Rambam gets into the process of how the testimony was accepted. Halacha Zayin, Ketzav Mekabel Esachodesh, so how is your testimony accepted? Kol Misha Roy Lahaid, anyone who's allowed or able to give testimony, Shira Es Hayareach, Bola Bezdin. Okay, so it's important to realize it doesn't mean that two people saw it together. Anyone who claimed they saw the moon and is a kasher witness can come to Beis Din and offer testimony. Ubeis Din machnisin osan kulam lemakom echad. So this is great. They would take everyone who came, okay, to say they're witnesses, put them basically in one room, and what would they do? The osin lahen sudos gedolos, and they would make these tremendous feasts for them. Kedei shiyu ha'am regilin lavo. Because you want to make sure people would feel comfortable coming. So, it obviously is a very awesome experience coming to Beis Din to give testimony. So, to kind of make sure that they have a positive experience, they basically offer them food, good food. Vizug Shabar Rishon. So, the first pair that comes in, Botkin Oso Rishon, Bibadiko Sharmarno. So, for the first pair who come in, there we use the Drisha Chakira that the Rambam spoke about before. Machnisin Esagadol, okay, Vishon Oso. Okay, so the person who is the greatest status in the Beis Din comes into the room, and he's the first person to ask questions. Nimsu dvar mechuvan al chashbon, as long as the witness's testimony lines up to the calculations, machnis en eschavero. Then the second witness is brought into the room. So in this interrogation room, you'd bring in the smartest guy from Beis Din. He had in front of him, let's say on a piece of paper, the calculations. He'd see if those matched up with what the witness had to say. Nimsu divrei mechuvanan edusan kemes. If the second witness has if his testimony also is corroborated with the calculations, testimony is accepted. Ushar kol azugo sholnosam roshei dvarim. Now the other witnesses who came, you don't have to get into specific questions. The Beis Din just asks them more general questions. Lo shetzrichan lahem, right? Because we don't need them anymore. In other words, let's say 40 people showed up to Beis Din. First two witnesses are accepted. What about the other 38? We don't need the other 38. Ela Kadeshul Yetsu Bipache Nefesh Kadesh Yerugin Lava. So you see there was a concern that people wouldn't come to Beis Din. They didn't want people to feel like that, you know, they came all this way for nothing. So to show that they had a role to play, even though it was completely unnecessary halachically to interview these witnesses, because once the first two are accepted, we now can say it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, to make them feel important that they actually did something and accomplished something, Beis Din goes ahead and gives them kind of like a very light version of interrogation. A very fascinating that Beis Din would do that when there's really no halachic necessity of such a thing. Okay, halacha ches. Now, the achachach, acher shetiskayim ha'edus, Rosh Beis Din Omer Mekudash, the kolam onim achara Mekudash Mekudash. So, once the testimony has been substantiated, and once now we're ready to move forward, Beis Din says Mekudash, and then the people say Mekudash Mekudash. They say it twice. Vei Mekachin Eshechodesh El Boshlosha. The minimum amount of dayanim you need to be Mekadesh Eshechodesh are three. Vei Mekachin El Boshlosha. You also need three judges to go ahead and work out the calculations. Okay. Vei Mekachin El Chodesh Anira Bizmano. And they only are Mekadesh moon, right, when you saw it at the appropriate time. Vei Mekachin El Biyom, right? Kiddush Eshechodesh only takes place during the day. Vim kachu belaila eno mekudash. And if they were mekadesh the month at night, it wouldn't work. Okay? Afilu rohu bezin v'chol Yisrael. Even if the entire bezin and all the Jewish people, okay, everyone, right? V'lo amru bezin mekudash ad shechashecha leil echa v'shloshim. So let's say everyone said they saw the moon, but the bezin did not say, right, what it called, that mekudash, that it's sanctified until the night of the 31st, or, oh, the witnesses were investigated. Let's say they actually did drisha v'hakir, the witnesses, but nonetheless, Beis Din still did not say mekudash until the night of the 31st. Okay, the lo yer rosh chodesh el yom echad shloshim afa pi shenira b'leil shloshim. It's an amazing idea. If Beis Din does not say mekudash, even though astronomically we know that it is already Rosh Chodesh, and all the people in Israel said they saw the moon, so therefore we know it's Rosh Chodesh, until they say Mekudash, it's not Rosh Chodesh. So even though astronomically it would have been the 30th, Beis Din will say, since they waited till the 31st now becomes Rosh Chodesh. She'en ha'ra'iyah kovas ela Beis Din sha'amru Mekudash heim shekovim. It's such an important idea. Only Beis Din can create Rosh Chodesh, and it must be done through them saying Mekudash. If they don't recite those words, as far as we're concerned, the astronomical reality has not converged with the halachic reality. Halacha tes. Ra'uhu Beis Din atzman besof yom tisha v'esrim. Now let's say the Beis Din themselves, let's say they're taking a walk, as they would often do, and they look up and they see the moon at the end of the 29th day of the month. Im adayin lo yotza kocha b'leil shloshim. Let's say it's before star came out on the night of the 30th. Beis Din Omer Mekudash, Mekudash, Shadayin Yom Hu. Right? So they could still say Mekudash because nightfall hasn't happened yet. Vim Ra'uhu Bilel Shloshim, Achash Yatsu Shnei Kochavim. Let's say they saw it on the night of the 30th after two stars had come out. L'machar, the following day, Moshivin Shnei Dayanin Eitzel Echamehen. Then what they would do is they would send two Dayanim, two judges, to join with one of them. V'ya'idu Hema Shnayim. And then the two witnesses, Bifnei Ashlosha, would testify, meaning, again, the two judges who claim to see it would testify before the three judges now, Vikachu Ashlosha. So what it shows you is that the Dayanim themselves could also function as witnesses. It's not limited to simply the average Jew. Finally, in Parak Beis, Halacha Yud, Beis Din Shekitchu Sechodesh, Bein Shogigin, Bein Mutoin, Bein Anusim. So if Beis Din goes ahead and sanctifies the month, whether they did it in a negligent way, they were forced to, whatever it might be, they were fooled. Harezim Mekudash. It becomes sanctified. V'chayavana kol asakin emodos ha'yom shekitchu bo. And now, even though we know they're off by a day, for example, we still set up our chagim based on when they were Mekadesh HaChodesh. Afal pi shezeh yada shato. Even though we know they made a mistake. Chayiv lismoch aleihem. We must trust them. We must rely on them. She'en ha'davar masur el lahem. Because they're the only ones who are entrusted with this task. Whom we should tziva lishmor hamodos, who tziva lismoch aleihem, shenemar asher tikru osam. So the people who are tasked to guard, to be careful with the holidays, they're also the ones that we trust when it comes to being Mekadesh L'Chodesh. So Beis Din has a tremendous responsibility here. Their job through making Rosh Chodesh, and you'll see this later on, is ultimately to make sure that the Chagim take place. So that's why it's so critical that people understand that they're the only ones who can be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Okay, let's start Parak Gimel. Now we're going to get into other witness issues, but let's say here it's more about, in the beginning, traveling issues, okay? How far away, if the Edom are too far away, they still have to go to Beis Din. So in Halacha Aleph, he says, Edom Shiroos HaChodesh, if let's say witnesses see the moon, Im Haya Beineim Ubein Makom Sheyesh Bo Beis Din, let's say between them and a city where there is a court, Mahalech Laila V'yom Opacha Solchem Eden. So as long as the journey is less than a night and a day, or we'll call that 24 hours for now, they would go ahead and go there to give testimony. V'imhaya b'nei'en yeser alkein, but if there was more than this amount of traveling, lo yelchu, they wouldn't go. She'ein eduson acha yom shloshim mo'eles, shekvar nisaber chodesh. The reason why they wouldn't have to go is, after the 30th day, there's no need for their testimony anymore. Because what do we know for sure? We know that it's going to be 31 days, and therefore it is a longer month. So they wouldn't have to go at that point. Halacha Beis, Edim Shiro as a Chodesh, Hare Elu Hochum the Beis in Lahaid, the Afilu Haya Shabbos. So when witnesses want to come to Beis Din to give testimony, they could come even on Shabbos, right? Shenemar Shetikru Osam Bimmo Adam, the Chol Mokom Shenemar Moed, Doches a Shabbos. Okay, so whenever it says Moed, that means it even pushes off Shabbos as well. Lefikach, Eim Chalin Ella Al Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Al Rosh Chodesh Tishrei Bavad, Mimdei Takanas Amodos. So because that's the case, they're only allowed to violate Shabbos when it comes to testifying for Rosh Chodesh Nisan or testifying for Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, right? Because with Nisan comes Pesach, and with Tishrei comes, obviously, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. It was much a Beis HaMikdash Kayam, but when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, Mechalon Al Kulon, it's interesting, they'd be able to violate any Shabbos. Why? Nei Korba Musaf. Because of the Korban Musaf that was brought, Shebechol Rosh Chodesh, Shudokas Shabbos. So when this took place in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, since the Korban Musaf was brought because it's Rosh Chodesh, then the witnesses would be allowed to break Shabbos for any single, Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh involved bringing the Korban Musaf. But once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so now they'd only bring testimony on, they'd only violate Shabbos to bring testimony on Nisan and Tishrei. Halacha Gimel. Geshem shemachalim edim shiroos achodesh as a Shabbos, kach machalim yamana edim shemzakin osam a Beis Din. Okay, so the same way that the edim that go ahead and saw the new moon are machal Shabbos to bring the testimony to Beis Din, they also right are able to violate Shabbos right im lo yu Beis Din makirin es roin. So they can also violate Shabbos to assist Beis Din in their background character check. The afilu hayazesh modios on the Beis Din. And even if only one person can, even if there's only one person available to assist in testifying about the character of the witnesses, he should still go with them and be over Shabbos, right? Because it's possible he'll come along and see someone else who can start with them and assist him in the task. So that those individuals would be able to be Mechal Shabbos as well. Okay, let's do one more. Halacha Dalet. Okay, let's say, God forbid, the witness who saw the moon on Friday night is sick. We can put him on a donkey and ride him over to the Beis HaMikdash. Even on a bed, we're allowed to carry him to get to the Beis Din. Okay, let's say there's a bunch of robbers are waiting to ambush the guy on the road. The witnesses are allowed, whereas if it's a very dangerous road to get back to Beis Din, they're allowed to take with them weapons. If it's a long walk, they're allowed to bring with them food. Right? So let's say they saw the moon and it was, when they saw it, it was very large, meaning the crescent was quite large, okay? And therefore, you know that other people saw it. In other words, I'm over here, I'm sure other people, I'm not the only one who saw the moon, I'm sure other people saw the moon. I don't have to be Mechal Shabbos for this. I'll rely on other people to go ahead and give testimony, right? Rather, anyone who sees the moon, and is able to give testimony via beino bein amakom shakavua bo beizin lalav yom apachos mitzvah alav lechal shabbos leilach lahoy. So ultimately, even there's no such thing as saying I'll assume the other guy will do it. Okay, if a person sees the moon, he is mechal shabbos, even if he knows for sure that other people saw it as well, in order to give that testimony to Beis Din.